Blog Talk Radio.
Taking the time to join us on tonight. I am excited. Glory to God. I am so excited about tonight's message and what God has purpose and plan for us on tonight. Know that it is not by accident that you are listening in on tonight, whether you're listening in live in the studio or if you're listening through the internet, it is not by mistake because it's predestined and preordained that you will be here to get what God has for you on tonight. So I thank God for you. I thank God that he had you here. I thank God that I'm here because I'm ready to receive what God has for us tonight as well. So again, thank you for tuning in on tonight. I want to just let me open up in prayer. Let me just lay the foundation and just allow the Lord and welcome him in on tonight as he bring forth the rhema word. So, Father God, we just thank you. We thank you, Father God, and you are welcome in this place. Father God, we ask that you would have your way, not our will, but thy will be done. Father God, bring forth the rhema word on tonight and give us revelation, knowledge of that word, that we could take it, Father, that we could run with it, that we will be transformed by the renewing of our minds, Father God. Father, we thank you, Lord, that there is now, therefore, no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. And Father God, we just thank you for your word because your word is to correct. Your word is to encourage. It is to inspire, Father. And we thank you for that word, Lord. So, Father God, we just pray right now that we are ready to receive the word. We die completely to the flesh that your spirit will live, Father. And we just thank you. You, again, are welcome into this place. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, tonight's show subject matter is, who are you endorsing? Who are you endorsing? That is the subject for tonight. I believe that's the word that God would have for us tonight. And as I begin, as this word was dropped in my spirit earlier this week, and I began to just study and be still and hear God, and I was like, okay, endorse. Lord, what are you saying? And there were several buzzwords that came about, and we're going to be going through them tonight. But the key word was endorse. The second word was, or the second phrase was, birds of a feather flock together. And we all heard that. That's a quote that most of us are familiar with. And we're going to dive deeper into that quote because it's a good quote and it has many truths, you know, to it. But one of the things I'm learning with quotes is that they could still be good quotes and have some truth to them, but a lot of times they're not biblical. So we're going to get into that tonight as well. And some other words that popped up for me is co-signing and brand. And we're going to just pull all of that together on tonight. You might want to even have a pen because I will be noting some scriptures that you might want to go back to after the show and study those or take a look at them. But tonight we're going to find out, who are you endorsing? I'm first start off, and you all know that I start off because I want us to understand the words. We hear the words. We hear words all of our life. All we've heard is words. Actually, we are words housed in flesh. Everything that's been spoken to us is a part of who we are. And whether we accepted what was spoken or not, that word has lingered on within us. So I'm going to just define endorse. And endorse is simple. It means declare one's public approval or support of. I'm going to give you a visual because we could understand when we could get a visual of something, we get a better understanding. And so most of us, most of all America was looking at the election or the campaigning for the election. And so if you recall, people had began to endorse Mr. Trump. And they had begun to endorse Mr. Trump, and then as the campaigns began and Mr. Trump started saying some stuff that wasn't cool or wasn't acceptable, these people who endorsed him, supported him, who had gave their public approval of him, began to unendorse him. Why? Well, we're going to talk about that tonight because we know that they began to unendorse him because they had endorsed him. They had actually gave him the stamp of approval publicly. So when you begin to endorse somebody, what you are saying is that I accept what they are and who they are. I accept what they are and who they are. And so when you begin to endorse people and you begin to accept, then it becomes a part of you. Because if I endorse you, and let's just say, I'm going to give an example. Let's just say that you are married and you're having an affair, but I endorse you. I am in essence saying that I accept your behavior. And this is where, and so now you can see where when I go into birds of a feather flock together, where that's going to come in at. But we got to be very, very careful about who we endorse, because who we endorse is what we're going to begin to look like. It begins to play a part on our reputation. And especially if you're building a brand, if you're building your brand and you're saying, my brand says I am a man or I am a woman of great character, integrity, and accountability, you're building a brand and you're building something about yourself that's going to be unique. And if you're trying to sell yourself, so to say, then you're building your brand and anything that you do, your reputation, who you support, who you endorse, who you co-sign for is important, because it could take you 20 years to build your brand, your reputation, and it could take you 5 minutes to ruin it. And the world don't all they won't say what you did for 20 years. They'll only remember that one thing that you did wrong. So that's why it's very important that we are careful about who we are endorsing. One thing comes to mind, and I'm going to get a little deeper, but one thing comes to mind is when you're doing business or even when you're doing ministry. A lot of times we will partner with people in business or partner with people in ministry, and we never qualified or verified these people. We never took the time to find out who they really are. What do we have in common? Do we have the same moral compass? That's a big one. Because if we don't have the same moral compass, it's going to be impossible for us to do business together. Why? Because we're not going to think the same way. And what you may want to do may be totally against my moral compass. Or you know how you handle business. You may have some shady business practices. And if you have shady business practices and my moral compass says, no, I can't do that, then that's going to be a conflict. So we need to be verifying and qualifying. Who are you joining with? Who are you endorsing? Who are you supporting? Who are you co-signing for? And co-signing says is a, and all of us know what co-signing means, but I'm going to break it down. I don't want anybody to assume. But co-signing is a person who is obligated to pay back the loan just as you, the borrower, are obligated to pay. So if I go out and take a loan and they require me to have a co-signer, generally a co-signer is required when one's own credibility is not enough. Whether that's they don't have enough finances, maybe they have a low FICO score. And so they are required to have a cosigner. And so what the cosigner is saying is if this person does not meet their obligation, then I am saying that I will take on that responsibility. Because the cosigner is saying, I believe that this person has a good moral compass. I believe that this person's character is intact. And though their credit may be not as great, maybe their financial situation may not be as great, but I believe that their character, their integrity, and their accountability is intact, and I'm going to be obligated. I'm going to co-sign for them. The problem is that oftentimes we get people who want to co-sign for someone when they're not even co-signable themselves, meaning their character, their integrity, their accountability is out of whack. And so we got to be careful about who we're co-signing for and who we're allowing to co-sign for us to make sure that we qualified and verified the person. No, it's like jumping in a relationship. Same thing. You don't want to jump in a relationship with anybody. You want to know, what's your mama's last name? Where your daddy work at? I know there were some questions. I hear the virtual laugh because we do that. What's your social security number? You know, you better ask those questions, those hard to ask questions. What's your FICO score? Who are you? Where do you go to church? Why are we asking all these questions? We ask these questions because these questions, based on the answers, tell us something about the person. It's going to tell us what's important to that person, who they are. Now, I'm not always saying that you could tell by some basic questions about a person, because you might ask a person who his parents are, and you might find out that he may be adopted. He may be from, adopted. He may not know his natural parents, or he may know his natural parents, and his natural parents may be dysfunctional. So I'm not saying that you can't get good out of not so good, but what I'm saying is you want to ask the questions, because believe me, if the natural parents are dysfunctional, you may find out down the line that there may be some behavioral things that he's dealing with. There may be some things that he's dealing with that he hasn't identified yet that came from his parents. So you want to make sure you know who the person is. Brand, unique design. What is a brand? Why is that important? Why is your brand important? Brand, a unique design, sign, symbol, words, or a combination of these things employed in creating an image that identifies a product and differentiates it from its competitors. So why is your brand important? Because your brand makes you different. Your brand identifies you. I'm going to give you a perfect example of a brand. Marvin Gaye. I know we know. We ain't all been saved all of our lives. We know who Marvin Gaye is, and I'm going to use Marvin Gaye as an example. I could have used Michael Jackson, or I could have used Al Green. But they build a brand for themselves. And so when you heard a certain beat, when you heard a certain tone, if you heard certain lyrics, you knew how to identify them between each other, because he had his own brand. It was something about his voice. It was something about his style. It was something even about his dress, you know, the way he dressed. He branded himself. So when people would see this man with this scraggly beard and a beanie on his head, and you'd seen him, he had built a brand, and you knew that's Marvin Gaye, that's his style. Anybody else that had that on, you might have just thought they were homeless, that they couldn't afford to buy themselves any clothes. But you knew Marvin Gaye could buy them some clothes. But that was his brand. That's what made him unique. That's what made him different from all the others. Michael Jackson, he had some things that were just him. That was just him. And you knew when you seen that, when you seen the white glove, when you seen the moonwalk. Michael Jackson's been dead for a few years now, but every time you see somebody do the moonwalk, what's the first thing that comes to your mind? Michael Jackson. That moonwalk was his brand. That branded him. And I could go on and on and on about various celebrities who have branded themselves. And it's not just celebrities, businesses. When you see a business logo, Sparklet, when you see the Sparklet logo, you know. They're maker of water. They're makers of water. You know that's their brand. And if you like Sparklers, you know that when you see that brand, you're going to get quality water. Arrowhead, you know that's a brand. You're going to get quality water. If you just seen a sign with an X and some water dropping down, you probably wouldn't know who that is. It hasn't been branded. You don't know that brand. It's not a trusted brand. There's brands that's trusted. They've been proven. And so that's why it's important that you build your brand. Who are you? What makes you different than all the others? And then building our brand, we got to be careful of who we endorse, who we attach ourselves to, who we marry, because that's going to determine the validity or the strength of our brand. Earlier, I had mentioned a quote that we all know, and it's called, and we hear it all the time. It's been around forever. I know, I'm believing that it had been around before I was thought of, but there's a term that we all used to use, and we still use, and we hear it, and it's called birds of a feather flock together. birds of a feather flock together. What does that really mean? We've heard it. You've heard your grandmama say it, I'm sure, because I heard my grandmother say it. And you often probably think, what does she mean by that? And what is meant by that and what is meant by that and what it means could possibly be a little different. But when we say it as a quote, what we're saying is that generally the same type of people are going to hang together. If you know, generally if a person's on drugs, they're going to hang around other drug addicts. If a person is a partier, they're going to hang around other partiers. You know, if a person likes certain things, they're normally going to gravitate to people that have that commonality. It's also said that if a person has a bad reputation and you're hanging with them, guess what? You're not going to be too far from what that person is. It also said that, you also hear it within families, the fruit doesn't fall far from the tree. So birds of a feather flock together is a term that we've always heard. And we basically think that this means that, you know, if a person is like this, then you're going to probably be like this. But there is, it's not biblical, but there is a biblical thing that said what God is speaking, and he's saying that every winged bird according to his kind. So birds of a feather flock together. Birds of a particular species, they flock together. You don't see chickens hanging with eagles. You don't see eagles hanging with chee-chee birds. You're going to see birds of a particular species hanging together. And it's not just birds. We're saying birds, that's the term that's used, but in the animal kingdom, you see certain animals hanging out with the same animal. This is even so much so that even in, this is the term and this is the word in Genesis that a lot of people who really got things twisted use this, and this was the term that was used. I just watched the movie, and I don't know if many of you seen it. It was called Loving. And it was the story of back in the, I think this was back in the 50s. It was a couple, a black woman and a Caucasian man who got married. It was against the law. Where they lived, it was against the law for them to get married. And you had a lot of, quote, Christians, unquote, at the time, white Christians, who firmly believed, and they had biblical, they had scripture to support their belief that races were not supposed to mix. And I'm not going to go to say that they were racist, but what I would say is that they interpret the Bible or the scripture to say that races weren't supposed to mix based on this scripture. And that was so far from the truth because based on this scripture, it was talking about species. We are all of the human species regardless of our color. And so that's what that term really meant. It had to be with like kind, and we just began to use it, and we flipped it around and said birds of the feather. But that does hold some truth. It does hold truth that you have to be careful who you're spending time with. And that we're going to go. I'm going to just not talk about this. Coach D is not going to just speak about this, but I'm going to take you to the word because the word is what we believe, and we know that the word is black and white. It's there. And in the word, it says this. I'm going to go to Proverbs chapter 22, verse 24. And I got verse 24 through 27, but I'm going to read up to 26. And it says, again, Proverbs chapter 22. Do not associate with a man given to anger or go with a hot-tempered man, or you will learn this ways and find a snare for yourself. Do not be among those who give pledges, among those who become guarantors for debt. In other words, it's saying, don't associate with that, or you might find yourself becoming the very thing that you associate yourself with. It also goes on to say in Psalms chapter 119, verse 63, I am a companion of all those who fear you and of those who keep your precepts. Precepts are just general rules intended to regulate behavior or thought. In other words, I want to hang with people who who believe the same things that I believe. If my belief system has certain rules and regulations, certain behaviors and certain thoughts, then I want to be hanging with people like that. I don't want to be hanging with people that's doing something contrary to what my beliefs are. Because I don't, why would I want to? That's not who I would want to join myself to. That's not what I want to endorse. I'm not going to endorse somebody that's not making good judgment, that's not operating in great behavior. 1 Corinthians tells us in chapter 15, verse 33, do not be deceived. This is a key one. Do not be deceived. Bad company ruins good morals. That's the word of God. And he's saying bad company ruins good morals. Why would you? And we always hear people say, oh, I'm not going to judge. People always want to judge other people. And oftentimes you hear that term come from, and I know I'm going to step on some toes, but oftentimes you hear that term comes from people who don't want to be judged, people who do not want to make a decision. And they use the one scripture. They don't read the Bible all year long, but they know the scripture, judge not lest ye be judged. And we got to be careful quoting scriptures, bits of scriptures, because in order for you to understand the scripture, you need to study it. You have to have a clear understanding of it. How do we get a clear understanding of the scripture? We get a clear understanding of the scripture, first of all, by studying it, but more importantly, by having a personal relationship. Who, Coach D, who am I supposed to have a personal relationship with? God. If you're not spending personal time with God, then guess what? The word of God is not going to mean anything to you. Because it's your personal relationship with God and his Holy Spirit that lives inside of you activated, that activates the words of God. So you can read the Bible, but if you don't have a personal relationship with God, then it's just a book. And oftentimes you'll find yourself just shooting out one-liners, judge not lest ye be judged. Spoil the child, spare the rod, spoil the child. Those are what are called one-liners. We heard them all of our lives growing up. Some of us never had ever walked into church, but we knew those scriptures. Don't be a one-liner. Get into relationship and find out what this word really means. Break it down. Define it. Look through. You got the same access. We got some technology. God then took it a step further and gave us some technology. Even though what the enemy means for bad through technology, God means for good. God said he created all things. So the technology was supposed to be a good thing. We all have the same technology that we didn't have back in later days. So there's no reason for us not to be able to find out what the word means. What does this word mean? Google it. Find out on Google what it means. Do a little research. When probably used to take somebody a few days to research something, now it takes us a few minutes because we have easy access to pull it up and find out what does it mean. What does endorse mean? What does co-signing mean? What does brand mean? What does God expect? You know, it used to be a time where you had to, you have to try to remember what scripture was that. You don't have to remember that. But you should be reading the word of God. You should know in your spirit. But you could go and Google it to find out what thus said the Lord. What does it mean? Why don't I want to endorse? Why did these people unendorse Donald Trump? Because something, his behavior was contrary to what these people thought they were endorsing. Now, I'm not talking about Donald Trump. I'm giving an example because this is a real example that most people can relate to. It's fresh. It's new. It just happened. Would somebody, ask yourself this question, would somebody endorse you? Is your reputation of such that somebody would be willing to put their name on what you're doing? That's a good question. That's one of those uh-huh questions. Not asking you to answer it tonight, but that's a question that you should go to bed to tonight. Would somebody be willing to endorse you and put their name on something that you're involved in? Do you have a good reputation? Who supports you? Who are you doing business with? What does your brand look like? What does your brand say about you? Does it say that you're integral? Does it say that you're a man or a woman of your word? Does it say that you're a hypocrite? Does your brand say, she's always preaching. She's always talking about God. But then, on the other hand, she cussing somebody out on Facebook. She got the bottle turned up, going live on Facebook. What does your brand say? What do people say about you when you're not around? What do they say about you behind your back? Now, don't get this confused, because I'm not saying that you have to be worried about what people say, because people are always say something, but I'm talking about your brand. I'm talking about who are you? Who do people say that you are? If you remember in the Bible, Jesus often asked his disciples, who do people say that I am? Now, we would think in modern terms, I don't care what nobody think about me. But Jesus often asked that question to his disciples. And I'm not sure that he really cared about what people, who people said that he was, more so than to make sure that people get who he is. And see, so I'm not concerned about who people say I am. I want to make sure that they get who Coach D is. Who am I? And my hope is that what they would get about Coach D is that she's integral. She's one of good character. She's accountable. That's what I want people to get about me. I don't want people to get about me that I'm hypocritical. I want to be of good character. I don't want people to, and we oftentimes, and I'm going to be careful, but we got to be careful about the titles that even when we're examining a person. Let me use the word examining, because judging gets really dangerous for people. But when we're in examining a person, oftentimes we'll take a person with a title and we automatically put them on a certain pedestal. Oh, he's a, or she's a. And generally it's titles that's associated. It could be, it's not just titles that's associated with Christianity, such as a pastor and a bishop and apostle, evangelist, a prophetess. And not just those titles, because people will be, put other people up on a pedestal because their title is doctor, attorney, councilman, congresswoman. So we're big on titles, and because we have, you know, society has made it that these titles become a brand for that person. That title identifies that person. But we have seen that those titles don't necessarily identify a person's character, integrity, and accountability. We've seen that you've had some good doctors and you've had some bad doctors, just like you have some great attorneys and you have some not-so-great attorneys. Same thing in the body. You have some great pastors and you have some not-so-great pastors. And sometimes you have just as many, if not more, people following not so good pastors as you got that's following good pastors. So we have to examine people. We have to qualify and verify them. We have to make sure that if I'm teaching you about, if I'm teaching you about how to make money, I better have some money. I mean, that's just a basic thought. If I'm teaching you about salvation, it might be a wise idea that I'm saved, that I've accepted salvation. If I'm telling you to woman up, to man up, then I better be in that place. Because when I don't, but I'm trying to teach you something that I haven't even begin to try to master myself, what good is that? And that's, I think, oftentimes what we see. We see that often. And so we'll see where people are trying to teach other people how to do something that they haven't learned how to do themselves. And so we got to begin to not only examine other people, but we have to begin to examine ourselves. We have to begin to examine ourselves, and we have to be willing to deal with those ugly parts of ourselves, or those broken parts of ourselves, those parts of ourselves that are less desirable, that's less like God and more like the flesh. We got to begin to take a look at ourselves and make sure, and we got to be willing to be corrected. We have to be willing to be corrected. And oftentimes we don't want to be corrected. We don't want to be told about our thing. We don't want to be told about our bad attitudes. We don't want to be told about how we're spending our money when we're not spending it right. Somebody don't want to be told about going to the nail shop and the hair shop every week, but they can't pay their electricity. We got to be willing to look at ourselves as well, examine ourselves as we examine others. And we have to be careful. We want to make sure that the people that we're connecting ourselves to are people that's moving in the same direction, or even moving in a direction that we want to be. Maybe you're not in that direction yet, but maybe you aspire to be in that. Maybe you aspire to be a business owner. Maybe you want to be an entrepreneur. What's the best way to drive you in that direction? By surrounding yourself with other like-minded people, other people that own businesses or have a desire that's speaking the right words, other people that know what it means to have a business plan. That's a good start. Surrounding yourself with like-minded people, people that want the same things that you want in life. They're gonna drive you. They're going to encourage you to be a better you. I want to take a minute and give anyone the opportunity that's listening in on tonight's broadcast. If you would like to make a comment, or if you have something to add to tonight's broadcast, please feel free to dial 1 on your dial pad. That'll tell our team that you have a question or a comment about tonight's show. You could dial 1 at any time. Okay, we do have a caller. Area code 310, last 4, 2567. Welcome to Processing the Pain.
Good evening, Coach D. Great information. I endorse this show. Great information. Thank you for sharing. Continued blessings and great job.
Well, good. Well, thank you so much, my brother. Thank you so much for tuning in and supporting the show on tonight. Do you have anything to add to this?
No, actually, I am. I'm really enjoying just sitting back and listening and tracking with you. So I'm just going to step back and enjoy and feast on the meal that you're giving us, and it's a great meal tonight.
Amen. Well, thank you again for tuning in.
Blessings.
So we're gonna Again, if you have anyone that has any questions or comments about tonight's show, please feel free to dial 1 on your dial pad, and we could pull you in. I'm going to continue on with the show, but at any given time, you could dial 1, and I will be more than glad to pull you into the show on tonight. One of the things I want to do, and this might be a good time for you to take a pen because we're getting towards the end of the show, and for those that's tuning in, tonight's show has been about who are you endorsing? How are you building your brand? What things are you doing to build your brand? Are you of good reputation? What are you doing to identify and qualify people that you're connecting, that you're endorsing? And I just want to give some scriptures, and I like to give scriptures. Anybody, we talk about some real life stuff on Processing the Pain. We know we talk about some stuff. We try to keep it, as the young people say, we keep it 100, and we try to talk about real life things because we serve a real God, and He understands that we're real people with real problems. And He's a real God with real solutions. And so I'm always going to go back to the Word of God, because this show is built on the foundation of the Word of God. And it's biblically based. So I want to make sure I go to the Word. And I want to give, because I'm giving you the Word because that's what I have to give you. These are the things that's tangible. This is the thing that you could, way after the show ends tonight, and you're going through something. My hope is that whether it's tonight or any other Thursday, my hope is that you could remember something that was said on the show that gives you something to hold on to. Maybe you could remember a scripture that was said that's dealing with whatever you're dealing with, and you could go back to that scripture, you could read it, and you could meditate on it, and you could apply it. And so that's why I like to give scriptures that are pertinent to the show or the discussions and topics that we're talking about. And so tonight we're talking about reputation. We're talking about your brand. We're talking about endorsing and co-signing. All these things are things that affect you. All these things are things that affect you by outside sources. So not necessarily things directly that you're doing, but who you're attaching yourself to, how that affects those things about you. So Proverbs, I want to go to Proverbs 22:1. This is one of my favorite proverbs. Actually, for many, many years, I used this proverb as an email address. I don't even have that email no more, but I used it. And it was Proverbs chapter 22, verse 1, and it says, "A good name is more desirable than great wealth. Respect is better than silver or gold." That's a good thing. That's a good thing right there. It's in a good name. I don't care what you do. I don't care how you flow. I don't care how much money you have. A good name. We just see people that's filthy rich, that have a lot of money, that have fame, that have fortune, but they have a bad name. They have a bad reputation. And I won't even go, I could start a list of them. I don't even have to think hard that I could start a list of people we all know that I could list that have a bad reputation. They got everything in the world that they possibly could want, but they have a bad reputation. Nobody want to deal with them. I'm going to go Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 1. A good reputation is more valuable than costly perfume. And the day you die is better than the day you were born. These are all things that's talking about good reputation, good name. Who are you? Who do they say that you are? That's going to be another show. But who do they say that you are? Who do you know, when you walk away from a crowd of people, did you make the crowd a better place because you were there? Or are people glad to see you leaving? What is your brand? What does it say about you? Who are you? Who are your connections? I was once told by my dad, who I'm sure is listening in on tonight, because as kids, I had I grew up in a home with two brothers, and oftentimes we would tell our parents when they would say, well, we don't have no money for that. And I had one brother particularly that would always tell them, just charge it. Just charge it. And so his whole thing was, you don't have to have money, just charge it. And I can remember my dad telling us that a millionaire is not a millionaire because they have money. Because most millionaires can't just go and pull $1 million. Well, now, back then, $1 million was a lot of money. They might could pull that now. But he said, what makes a millionaire is his credibility. His credibility. And so what's the credibility? Comes back to all the things I've been talking about tonight. What's your reputation? Are you one that's going to pay back your, you know, are you going to pay back your bills? Are you paying your bills? You know, are you keeping your word? What's your reputation? And I want to be careful, because everything I'm saying, this is no condemnation. And some of us hit a bad spot in life, and we made some poor decisions that may have cost our credit score to drop, or we may have gotten something, disconnected. We may have went through something. We may have lost a job. When you lose a job, you lose income. So you can't keep up the same lifestyle that you had because you lose the income. And unless you're able to replace that income quickly, you could potentially, some things could start happening in your life that's beyond your control. And even in that, your integrity level should stay great. Even in that, your character should stay great. Because we all have been through some stuff. And that's fine. But make sure that your character, your integrity, and your accountability stay intact, because that's all you have. Your name, your word is all you have. Even in dark hours of unemployment, even in dark hours of despair, your name is all you have. And if you could keep that, then your credibility is good. And people will trust you. And people will be there to help you and do things for you when you got a good credibility. That's important. And it takes me back to what the message was on Sunday. And the message was about Abraham. We've been at Abraham and Sarah, and Sarah died. And when Sarah died, Abraham, could have he been with this woman for, 100 and something years? He could have just laid down and died with her. You know, maybe not a physical death, but he could have just died emotionally. So we do that. We stop, we go through some stuff, and we'll stop, and everything, the assignment that we own, all that God have us doing, our business and everything, stop. But sometimes we have to push. Abraham, he pushed. It was business as usual. Yes, I'm sure he was hurt, but he had to buy the land that he had to bury her at, and he had to continue on. And sometimes that's what we have to do, even when life take a turn for the worse. We got to continue on. We got to continue to fight. We got to continue to push. We got to continue the assignment that God has us on, because he's trusting us to finish it. He's not expecting us to lay down on the assignment, but he wants us to push, continue the assignment, continue to do what you're doing, continue to be in good spirit, good character, not to say it's not going to hurt, not to say that the pain won't beat her, not to say that you ain't bleeding, but how many of us know that even a soldier that's wounded sometimes still has to fight the war? And so we have to continue to push, even in the pain, and that's what processing the pain is about. Don't think that Coach D don't have her pain. Coach D has pain. And when I get rid of this pain and processes, I'll have some more pain. And then I'll have to process that, and I'll have some more pain. But I'm constantly processing pain because I refuse to allow pain to process me. I refuse to allow pain to have me paralyzed and stagnant. and not moving towards what I know I've been called to do. Don't lay dormant. Keep pushing. Keep trusting. And by all means, stop endorsing people that you haven't qualified and verified. Stop marrying people that you don't know their character and their integrity. And when I say marry, I'm not just talking about marriage as in husband and wife, even though that applies too. But I'm talking about we marry ourselves in so many ways on a daily basis. I have caller, area code 310, last 4336. Welcome to Processing the Pain.
Hey, folks, how you doing?
I'm great this evening, and you?
This is Terrell again.
I can barely hear you. Your phone, yeah, your phone is really low.
This is Terrell. This is Terrell again.
Hey, Mr. Hammond, thank you for tuning in.
Yes. Just wanted to let you know there, you know, the conversation that you have, the topic is really touching. You know, if you people that's listening, if you just sit back and think about, you know, like you said, character and, you know, your word and, you know, people being able to, you know, when you leave or like you said, are they going to speak of you or are they glad to see you go? All of those things is, you know, what people deal with in everyday life. You know, so if you sit back and think about the things you're saying, I'm sure, you know, somebody can really, really get a, you know, true understanding of this message, man. So I just want to let you know I'm really feeling what you're saying and I'm really taking it to heed, you know, because I can relate pretty much to everything that you just said just now. So I'm glad I got a chance to listen in and call you and let you know I'm supporting you, dear.
Well, I appreciate your support and you just keep doing what you're doing because what you're doing is making a difference. Sometimes we don't know what we're doing is making a difference in people's lives until sometimes we don't even know until we check out, and then we still don't know. But just keep doing what you're doing because you're doing some great things.
Thank you very much, dear. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Have a good evening. Thank you for tuning in.
All right, dear. Take care, okay?
You too.
Okay, bye-bye.
So we, again, if you have any questions or comments about tonight's show, please feel free to dial 1 on your dial pad. That'll let our team know that you have a question or comment, and we'll bring you in. We appreciate you for tuning in on tonight's topic. Who are you endorsing? And I just want to do some fine bullet points. We are towards the end of the show, but there's just a few bullet points that I want us to take with us. And what we want to take with us is this. We know, first of all, that we want to be careful who we're connecting ourselves to. Who are we calling friends? Who are you calling friends? You know, we want to know that, you know, there is some truth about birds of a feather flocking together. Who are you flocking with? Are you flocking with people that's moving in the same direction to you, that wants the same thing? Are you flocking with people that don't? You know, if you're flocking with people that's okay and content with being 8-to-5 workers, guess what? Then you're going to find that you're going to be content with that because an 8-to-5 worker is not going to burn the midnight oil. They're not going to want to be up all night putting together a business plan. They're not going to understand when you have to go to a conference because you're trying to invest in yourself so that you can pour more into the vision you have. They're not going to understand that. They're not going to understand why you can't go out and party with them. They're not going to understand those things. So you want like-minded people. You want to get people that's got the same moral compass as you. Why? Because if you get a business partner, and you and this business partner says, you know what, we got an opportunity to make a lot of money. Now let me tell you how we're going to make the money. We're going to put these figures on this piece of paper so we could get this money back. And you know those figures are not legit. Ooh, ooh, ooh. Now, you didn't went into business, and you've invested money and time into this business with a partner that's not thinking like you thinking. You believe in God to grow your business, and your partner's believing that if he get a scam or she get a scam or she could do something shiesty, that she could make the money. I'm telling you, that's a bad marriage. It's a bad marriage when you decide to marry somebody, husband and wife, and you guys don't believe this. You're not on the same page. You're unequally yoked. And we know about that because the Word of God talks to us about being unequally yoked. It tells us he don't want us to be unequally yoked. He wants us to be yoked, and we all know what a yoke is. A yoke is an apparatus that was used to keep two ox or two oxen together so that they'll stay on the same path. That one's not going to the left, another one's going to the right, but this apparatus connects these oxen right at a bar across their neck that keeps them on track. And so the Word of God tells us not to be unequally yoked. Make sure that the person that you're yoked up with, whether it's in marriage, whether it's in business, whether it's in friendship, make sure you equally yoke. Make sure you guys are believing for the same thing. I don't want to be unequally yoked in marriage or in partnership, business, anything, because I need to know that the person that I'm yoked up with, when things get rough, I need to know that they know how to pray. I need to know that they're going to pray with me and they're not going to run. I need to know that they're going to be honest. I need to know that in their honest, that because of who they say they are, that they're going to be honest, that they're going to keep their word, that if I ask them a question, I'm going to get some truth. Now, I'm not saying that even a person that's equally yoked to me may not struggle with in some areas. I'm not saying that they're perfect. I'm just saying I want to know that their governing point at the end of the day, even in their flaws, that at the end of the day, their governing point is God. This is who's correcting them. This is who's convicting them. Even when they are wrong, it's conviction that causes us to get right. And all of us being wrong, even when we want to be right, we was wrong. We all being there, and we're going to continuously be there. But we want to know that there's something greater than ourselves that's governing us, something greater than ourselves that said, oh, you blew it today. Repent. Apologize. Because if you don't have that, then it's going to go wayward. If you marry, ladies, if you're marrying somebody because they're cute, because they're wealthy, because they're whatever, but if it ain't because they love God and that they're submitting to him, not just saying they know God, but they love him and that they're submitting to him, then you might have some problems. You're going to have some problems. Men, the same thing. If you're not marrying a woman that loves God, then you're going to probably have some problems because she's going to do something that's out of order, and you as her husband might tell her it's out of order, but guess what? If God is not the head and the total head in her life, she's not going to even be able to hear what you're saying as a husband. So we want to make sure that we're lined up. We want to make sure that we're endorsing the right people, good reputation. We want to make sure that we keep a good name. And I'm not saying we're perfect. This is a daily, it could be a daily walk, but know that that's the direction you're heading in. Know that you're moving in that direction. I often hear people say, well, I don't know, all of a sudden, you know, I started getting my life together and all of a sudden I don't have any friends no more. Everybody just started getting mad at me and stopped being my friend. They don't want to be my friend no more. Well, they don't want to be your friends no more because guess what? Because if they're not, oftentimes if people are not moving in the same direction that you're moving in, they don't want to be your friend. So one or two things have to happen. Either you got to stay where they are or you got to leave. You can't stay where they are and continue to grow. And that's why people start leaving. That's why your tree starts, I call it, your tree starts getting shook. My tree is continuously, it's like a couple of times a year, my tree gets shaken and stuff starts loosening up. Stuff that's loose starts falling off. And I didn't understand that, and I would get hurt, and I would be crushed, and I would be devastated because I didn't understand why this relationship didn't work out and why that relationship didn't work out. And I didn't understand that. Now I understand it. I understand that that relationship wasn't God's plan for my life. And because I was holding on to those relationships, and I'm not just talking about man relationships, I'm talking about relationships, period, friendships or whatever, because I was holding on to it so tight, God had to begin to shake the tree. He had to loosen it first and then let it fall off. And I'm now understanding that when things are starting to fall off and fall away from me, I'm trusting God. I'm trusting God that it's falling off for a reason, because he has a purpose and a plan, and that may not be the season for that purpose. It may not be at all. That may not be his perfect plan for my life, or he may be saying, Denise, not this season. This is a different season for you. So in all that's been said tonight, I would have to say this, and I'm going to bring it to a close, is this. Personal relationship, because in the personal relationship, and if you build that vertical relationship, and I say this all the time, the horizontal things take care of themselves. You will know, because God will speak to you. And you got to seek him. When you get ready to do a partnership, go to God and say, Lord, pray. Ask him to show you this person. Is this the person that I should be doing this with? Should I be working with this person on this project? Should I engage with this person in business? Ladies, men, should I date single men and ladies? Should I date this person? Go to God and ask him, and allow him to begin to minister to us what we need to do. So be willing when he tells you no to accept that as no. Because sometimes we know God told us no, and we went ahead anyway. So be willing when he says no, be willing to accept that. If you move forward and somewhere midstream, he said, cancel this out right now. Be willing to be obedient. Because he sees what's on the other side. He sees what's down the line. And he's trying to forewarn you. So don't ask the questions. When you know God, just trust. Trust the process. So, Father, we just thank you on tonight. We thank you, Father God, for the word that you brought forth. I pray, Father God, that something's been said tonight that will continue to edify, encourage, empower, and educate your people, Lord, that we all will do better, Father God, even Coach D, even me, Father God, that we all will do better, that we will make better decisions, Father God, that we will be more careful about what we connect ourselves to, Father. Father God, that we will trust you, that we will seek you in all things, Father God, that we lean not into our own understanding, but acknowledge you in all of our ways, that you will direct our path. Help us to be sensitive in our spirits, Father God, to your urging, and for you ministering, and for you giving us the spirit of discernment, Father God, to make right choices. Help us to be obedient, Father, in this season. Help us to be obedient so that as we begin to build our brands, that we begin to step out on the visions and the purpose and the dreams and the visions and ideas that you have for us, Father God, that we can move forward in excellence. Father God, that we would keep great reputation, Father God, because we represent you. We are your ambassador. And Father God, we represent the kingdom. So help us to be of good representation as we go forth and represent you. In Jesus' name, thank you for tuning in on tonight. We appreciate you. And we hope that you tune in next week on another episode of Processing the Pain on Thursdays at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. And on Tuesdays at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, we have Woman to Woman. And we hope that you tune in for that as well. We appreciate you, and have a good evening.
Yeah.